food and nutrition experts getting together to help you raise a healthy family. It's time for Family Food Kitchen on Radio MD. Here's your hosts, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
When I think of Mediterranean food, I think of two things right off the bat: pasta and bulgur. Bulgur because I used to live in Turkey, so that was a primary food for us there. Well, Cynthia Harriman, she's a grain expert from Old Ways Preservation Trust, is here in our kitchen to help us fit the best grains into our favorite Mediterranean recipes. Cynthia, you know grains. Now, I've noticed that ancient grains are still resurfacing. New ones keep showing up on the seams. Which ones are the best ones to use in Mediterranean recipes?
Well, I'm glad that you mentioned bulgur, Ellen, because bulgur is the original Middle East fast food. In most cases, you don't even have to cook it. You just pour boiling water over it, cover the pot, and let it reconstitute while you cook the rest of your meal. So it's a really, really easy, quick food that anybody can take advantage of. No real cooking skill required, and it's delicious and very healthy whole wheat dish. You use it
that
in
would explain, and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to just let you know that I'm just going to jump in and say, no wonder we had it all the time in Turkey because it was so easy. I didn't know about it till we lived there a while ago. Now we have it at home, but I love the fact you call it the Middle East fast food. It can be our fast food too. That is just chock-a-block full of nutrients. Okay, carry on. You were going to talk about tabbouleh, I think?
I was just going to say that tabbouleh is probably one of the ways that we originally got introduced to bulgur, but it can be used as a base under all sorts of stews and sauces, makes great salads, use it as a stuffing and grape leaves, chicken, other dishes. So it's really very, very versatile and easy.
Yep. Okay, what about some other ones? We're both eager beavers. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Carolina.
Another thing that comes to mind that's really coming up in interest and availability is frika, and that has such an interesting story. The story, whether it's true or not, whether it's a myth, I don't know. It's a great story anyway, that this small village was being caught in the middle of a war, and they had to burn all their crops to escape the approaching enemy, and when they came back, they had nothing to eat, so they tried to eat the burned, underripe wheat anyway, and gosh, it tasted great. So now frika is wheat that's harvested when it's slightly underripe and then smoked. It has a wonderful, deep, smoky flavor. It's great in pilafs or as any side dish. It's also a Middle Eastern tradition, which brings up a good point. When we talk about the Mediterranean diet, we aren't just talking about Italian or Greek or Spanish food. We're talking about food all around the rim of the Mediterranean Sea.
Oh, you're right about that. Some of that food has even made its way to Brazil. I grew up eating bulgur in Brazil, so it was part of, at least once a week we had a dish made with bulgur, whether it be tabbouleh or even meatloaf, which is a recipe I recently shared. I absolutely love taking out the breadcrumbs, which is mm-hmm. just refined grains, and substituting with a whole grain. And so I do exactly what you said, soak it in water. I don't use boiling water, just warm water to soak my bulgur, and then mix it in with the ground turkey or, ground chicken, whatever you're going to use for your loaf that day. And it just really stretches my meat and provides so much more fiber. So I love the how versatile these grains are.
And I think you brought up brought up a really good point here, that all of these grains can be substituted for each other. If you say, but I don't know anything about these other grains, they all cook pretty much like cooking rice. You stick some grain and about twice as much water in a pan, cook it until it's soft enough so that it tastes good to you. If it isn't soft enough yet, put a little more water in and cook it a little longer. If it's ready before the water's all gone, just drain the extra water off. You have a favorite rice recipe, try it with wheat berries or frika or barley or something else. So any recipe you like, you can really substitute almost any grain for it to get a really good variety.
You're so right. I in Brazil, you have to make a perfect pot of white rice before you get married. That's what people say there. And I was a terrible rice maker. Terrible. I mean, my rice was always like half stuck to the pan, and what you could get out of the pan was just a ball of gum. I don't know. It was horrible. So when I found out all these other grains and how much easier they actually are to cook than white rice, I was in heaven.
You got married anyway, so you lived happily ever after. after there. Great.
Yeah, thankfully my husband's good with whatever rice I make, so that's the upside. So let's go to recipes, because I think everybody's getting ready to try some of these awesome new grains. Do you have a really fun recipe to share with one of these new grains?
Yeah, I think we've made people hungry here. And
I know.
Points up the way that you can cook with any of these grains and interchange them. One recipe I like from wholegrainscouncil.org, one of the websites that Old Ways, is a barley basil risotto with fresh asparagus and corn. It's really wonderful for this time of year when we're in asparagus season. And you can make a risotto-type dish with other grains. I've seen people do it with farro, which is a type of wheat, make farroto. I have another recipe on the wholegrainscouncil.org website for wheatberry mushroom risotto. So it just really illustrates how you can change out these grains with some of these same ideas of making a nice sort of creamy, grainy dish.
Yeah, I am so pleased that we are clearing the air and getting rid of the white rice. I was laughing so hard when you said that, Carolina, because I have the exact same results, and I just gave up. But man, oh man, these ancient grains are the easiest to make, and they're no fail. And that's just a blessing for me, certainly. And I know that my whole family and the kids love them. I hope people are understanding the kids are very much loving the nutty, sweeter flavors of these ancient grains. So one more recipe. Do we have time for one more, Carolina?
I would love to talk about a freaka salad with tomato and oregano, which is another great choice for this time of year. Our farmer's market started up here last week, and I'm so excited to finally start getting some of these fresh dishes. We have a couple of freaka salads on our website, a lemon mint freaka salad, but the one that I like best is the freaka salad with tomato and arugula, and it's just as straightforward. You just cook the freaka, cut up some little grape or cherry tomatoes, put in some herbs like chopped dill, green onion, parsley, your choice of some other nice crunchy vegetables like cucumber. If you want, you could add some beans or chicken or canned tuna or some other protein source, but it's fine the way it is too as a side. So it's just delicious. Maybe a little crumbled feta on top. Mmm.
Yeah. Mmm. You're making me so hungry.
We can talk about these things right at lunch.
I know. I'm glad you clarified that, though, because recently I talked to a friend who said she just couldn't get my recipe right for a salad that I added quinoa. Apparently, I failed to say the obvious part where you cook the quinoa first and then, you know, you save it. And
oh, no.
So, but that's so true. People may have not thought of it because they haven't experienced these grains yet, and it can be a little bit intimidating. So I'm so glad, Cynthia, you clarified that. You know, everybody can make these. They're pretty easy to make. That's the bottom line. You can go to the store right now and have fun picking which one you're going to start off with. And then you cook them and you can eat them right there as a side item to your dinner, and then save the rest to maybe top off a salad the next day. So it kind of goes two meals in one, and it's so much fun. It really tastes amazing, and the whole family will enjoy it. So
that's exactly what I do. Is I cook a little extra at dinner time, and then the next day I just chop up whatever vegetables I have in my fridge and make a quick vinaigrette, and there's lunch right there with leftover grains and some mixed vegetables. It's great.
Sounds perfect. Thank you so much, Cynthia, for being with us and for getting us all on track to starting and trying even more different grains to fit into whatever diet we're following these days. If you want to look at some recipes and even some more information and interact with Cynthia, go to her website. That's www.oldwayspt.org. You can also follow us on kidcritics.org. That's spelled with two K's, KIDKRITICS.org. And if you see us on Facebook, we'll try to share some of the recipes from Old Ways so you can see them as well. You can always listen to us on Radio MD. Look for our podcast and our page. And in the meantime, make sure you eat well and stay well.